You are tuned into TCS Podcasts.
I know very few people who don't own a piece of wearable tech these days. And it also turns out that the 10th of October is World Mental Health Day. We've decided to put these two together and bring you a very, I would imagine, timely and current podcast on some interesting collaborative work that is happening as we speak. TCS Research Podcast welcomes you to an episode. My name is Sheetal, and I get to rub shoulders with people who have been at the center of this fascinating work that we have to our credit. Now, as you're aware, TCS Research has been exploring problems and coming up with these inventions over the years that help address problems on mental health and well-being. So this interesting piece of collaborative work that I referred to led to the development of a wearable device-based technology to assess mental workload. And today we have with us Ramesh Ramakrishnan, who is principal scientist at TCS Research, and also Professor Ratna Ghosh, faculty at the Instrumentation and Electronics Engineering Department of Jadavpur University. Like I said, wearables have been in vogue for several years now, as people have begun to pay close attention to their physical and mental well-being. And this is where this joint work being done by TCS Research and Jadavpur University brings this new dimension to all that we are doing in the organization. So welcome to the podcast, Ramesh and Ratna, and how are you today?
It's wonderful to be here on this occasion, and I'm very excited to be sharing these information with all around.
Hi, this is Ramesh here, and this is a good opportunity for me to interact with all of you and share our work.
Let's start with you, Ramesh. Would be great if you walked our listeners through the primary objectives and also the expected outcomes in your area of study at TCS Research. Maybe if you could touch upon your work in embedded devices and intelligent systems that are focused on health and wellness, that would be great too, Ramesh.
Sure, Sheetal. Within TCS Research, we have a research theme. You know, the theme is called People and Population Sensing, wherein our projects focus on human behavior sensing. Now, the objective of this theme is to look at unobtrusive, privacy-preserving, and frugal, yet multimodal solutions for sensing and inferencing of human behavioral, psychophysiological context measures to assess a human in a given enterprise context. Right? So basically, it's about how people are behaving and reacting within an enterprise. So our focus is enterprise use cases within the realm of neuromarketing, workforce analytics, emotional well-being, human-robot, and human-machine interaction. Okay. At a high level, we focus on four major aspects of human behavior, namely cognition, human affect, human intent, and physical behavior. We use off-the-shelf devices such as smartphones, webcams, wearables, you already mentioned in the beginning, pulse oximeter, which is today has become quite popular because of the COVID scenario, the EEG or electroencephalogram headbands, which primarily read the brain waves, and radars, etc., to build machine learning and deep learning algorithms and models for each of these aspects that I mentioned in terms of cognition, affect, intent, and physical behavior. I guess cognition and affect are two things that would closely relate to mental health and how people react to the scenarios.
Thank you so much for walking us through the work that you do, Ramesh. It sounds all very fascinating, lovely intersection of the brain, or rather the human being, and indeed technology. Ratna, I'm going to ask you, of course, to walk us down memory lane, because TCS Research does believe in inventing together with its academic partners, and you're one of them. So tell us how this collaboration between TCS Research and Jadavpur University came to be.
So I would like to take you back a little before the TCS Research collaboration came in. Mm-hmm. So in the Instrumentation and Electronics Engineering Department in Jadavpur University, our group has been working on developing a passive device, okay, which is capable of measuring potentials. Our body actually generates potentials by itself. And we just simply thought of measuring that. Now, the advantage is that these potentials, they need not necessarily be attributed to any particular organ like the brain or the heart or the muscles and so on and so forth. They can just be anywhere, every cell actually generates potentials. So we started thinking that, okay, let's monitor these passively without interfering with them. And maybe we'll get an insight into the condition of the person at what we call the system level. So with this, we developed a device to measure the human biopotential using what we call the passive EDA method. So, and we call this particular potential, we've named it as the differential dermal potential because the way how we measure it. So now, once this was like well into the development phase, I reconnected with Dr. Arpanpal and Mr. Prateep Mishra of TCS Research. And they showed an interest and they actually came over to our lab and saw what we were doing and then called us in that, okay, why don't you come in and sort of join hands with us to take this forward.
And the rest, as they say, is history, or history in the making, because there's so much to do, Ratna. And now, Ramesh, back to you. I'm always fascinated. I'm a user of wearable tech myself. In fact, I even have an application on my phone that, you know, measures my sleep. And I'm always wondering at the magic that it is, because I always pause to wonder, oh, what is the technology that is powering this? And indeed, there are several, you know, fitness trackers, smartwatches in the market that can even now keep track of our stress levels. So how is TCS Research's technology different from the ones that are available in the market today?
Yeah, you're right, Sheetal, you know, and especially with post-COVID, if you see the number of and the variety of wearable devices has hit the market, has gone significantly up. Now, the fitness trackers generally use a technology called photoplethysmography, or a PPG in short, to measure heart rate and heart rate variability, which is then translated into some representation of stress. That's how most of these devices work. Now, photoplethysmography is a technology where you use light as an LED to measure how your pulse is beating. Okay. So that is then translated into a waveform, and that waveform we call signal processing is analyzed and they come up with measures. Having said that, stress or anxiety can be better measured by other technologies such as electrodermal activity, or EDA in short. Now, many of us may not know this technical term, but it is the technology that is actually sitting behind what we popularly call the light detector test. Mm. It is nothing but how your skin perspires or sweats, you know, when your anxiety level goes up or down. That is what is getting measured as an electrical potential. Now, in one of the projects that we did within the human behavior sensing context, we have developed a model for assessing stress using galvanic skin response, or GSR in short, which is person and at the same time stressor, which is basically the nature of the stress independent. So what that means is, this model that we have generated will work in you know, situations where stress is introduced during driving, or it is because of your social stress or work environment, so on and so forth. So it's something that we are quite proud of, because generally people have developed methods, but they have developed which is specific to a scenario. Ours is a scenario independent kind of one.
Scenario independent model. Fantastic. Now, I'm curious to know what happens, what really happens in our body when we have a high or a low cognitive load, and how are these changes really detected by this wearable device that you propose?
To explain that, I think I'll have to slightly, you know, touch upon what is cognitive load. Mm-hmm. Now, cognitive load, or mental workload, as you know, general term mentions, is the overloading of human short-term memory. That then gets reflected in various physiological parameters like our heart rate or breathing rate, brain activation, so on and so forth. Now, cognitive overload directly affects the task performance that we are doing at a time. For example, in this particular session that we are having, an interaction, you ask me a question and I'm struggling to find the answer because I have to apply some mental workload, which is slightly beyond what would have otherwise been if I knew the answer. That will result in stress because I am not able to meet the objective, and thereby anxiety. And a continuous, you know, anxiety situation can even lead to depression. Thus, what happens is the continuous monitoring of cognitive load becomes an important measure that, you know, we can lead to timely interventions, which can then be planned to answer questions like, you know, is my job extracting more cognitive load than average, which means maybe I should look at something which I'm more comfortable, or it can also help in understanding how involved I am in a particular task that requires cognition.
Well, clearly my question has not placed any undue cognitive load on you, Ramesh, because you've explained that to us so well. And thank you for that answer. Now, Ratna, to come to one of your joint publications, right? You mentioned that exosomatic devices are more commonly used to measure electrodermal activity than endosomatic devices. Now, what are these devices and what is the difference between the two? And what made you explore the less conventional route, in this case, opting for endosomatic devices?
Let me start out with the difference itself. So naturally, these two terms, exosomatic, endosomatic. So soma actually means the surface of the skin.
Right.
So exosomatic means you are supplying something from outside. Mm-hmm. Endosomatic means whatever is coming from inside. So that's a basic difference. So the GSR that Ramesh was mentioning about, the lie detector test sensor,
right,
that is actually an exosomatic technology, because there you have to insert a current into the body and you look at the body or the system's response to that.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, when you're looking at that, the skin type, whether a person is sweating due to getting stressed or not, or is it a naturally dry skin or what? So those kind of start affecting the measurement.
Right.
Now, unlike this, the potential, as I mentioned, that every system, every cell in our body is generating potentials. So the sum total of that is what we are measuring in the endosomatic. Since we are measuring the potential, so that's an endosomatic kind of a measurement. So what we are doing essentially is we are merely trying to be as quiet an observer or listener to the system as is possible. The act of observation itself disturbs, as we all know, but as quiet as we can.
Right.
You know, so that's a basic thing. This allows us to kind of pick up the body's potential signature.
Right.
And this signature, is it changing due to some stressor, whatever generates stressors? So is that so? That is what we are trying to pick up. Now, these stressors need not necessarily be external. You might be worrying about something. There might be an internal disturbance in the system. There could be a sound outside. So we want to measure in not a very synthetic scenario, in the general natural but calm scenario, and kind of pick up the signature. So that is what it is.
Right.
Now, looking back at that, so what made us explore this route?
Right.
Actually, we had started off with the exosomatic. So we started off by trying to replicate a device that somebody else was using in our lab. And we thought that, okay, let us see, like, what is it composed of and so on. But then we found that we got stuck at that current generation part and all that. Then we thought that, okay, why do we need that? What are we looking into? So we kind of sat back at that and kind of started revisiting the whole thing right from point one. So, and that led us to this one. And it's been an exciting, wonderful way forward.
Yeah. I like the words, the use of the words exciting and wonderful, because you bring alive, you animate the world of research and science. And I can hear the passion in your voice, Ratna. And thank you for doing that for all of our listeners over there. More focus on STEM always is the need of the hour. But to come back to Ramesh, right? Ramesh, my question for you is, did this technology get tested in lab settings, or have we used publicly available data sets? And do we really understand as to how this device could be working in a real world sort of setting?
Professor Ratna already mentioned, right, this is a new technology. That is, this the differential dermal potential technology is brand new. So for that same reason, we do not have any publicly available data set. So even if we want to test on publicly available data set, it is yet to come. But, you know, so if I could say so, we can call ourselves as pioneers in this, you know, DDAP technology for assessing cog load, and in future assessing many other human behavioral aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But coming to lab experiments, we have obtained excellent results. Right? Mm-hmm. And then we have published that as well. And we intend to collect data in real life use cases to test our models, because otherwise, you know, the question of deployment will come. If we can't test it in real life and prove that it works the same way as in lab, we will not be able to deploy. But I would also like to point out that we have published a body of work based on GSR, which is, like we mentioned, the earlier one, right? The lie detector sensor. where we have tested on multiple publicly available cognitive load data sets and obtained best-in-class results. So we can confidently say that our results are as good as anybody else out there today.
Right.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Sheetal, to add on to what Ramesh was saying about the experiments were done in our laboratory itself. And believe it or not, we have a proper hospital bed aligned in along a particular direction and so on and so forth, all set up, and a separate sitting arrangement for doing the cognitive load tests and all of that. So all the data has been collected in person. We called out to the different students, teachers, staff members, and various university people to give their data and all that. So it was a voluntary work. And so all of this was done absolutely real life and real time.
Yeah, in lab settings. Fascinating. Now to come to the social aspect of the comment, right, Ratna? World Mental Health Day, we did reference that in the context of this podcast, and we are clearly focusing technologies to make mental health and well-being a global priority for all. So how do you see this device or this innovation fit into this landscape, and how can it help in monitoring and supporting mental health and well-being according to you, Ratna?
Yeah, I appreciate this particular query, particularly in view of the mental health, which is so much of an important issue nowadays. So as I mentioned, we had to revisit our objectives when we hit the device development roadblock. And during that, we sat in the lab group, we had discussions, quite a lot of discussions, that all the healthcare organizations, several of them, were focusing on illness and not really on wellness. But we know very well that the human system is almost miraculous in its resilience and capabilities to handle the various odds that we face in and out every day.
Right.
So this was like all the more reason why we wanted to literally just sit and see what and how the system was behaving on its own to all naturally occurring like inputs. As I mentioned, stressors could be sort of internal as well as external. So whatever comes is thrown at us, how do we respond to that? It's a very individual response. So how do we, each of us, respond to that? And there is so much information in that. So we've begun our studies prior to the TCS research collaboration. We had already started the work simply by looking at people resting, you know. And thereafter, we've moved into this cognitive load study with TCS research.
Right.
And we are handholding to go further into various other aspects, which I'm sure Ramesh will talk about further.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's fascinating that you shifted the focus from illness to wellness. And just to give you an example, Ratna, I have a family member who fitted themselves with a continuous glucose monitoring device, not because they have diabetes, but they just wanted to be well. Forewarned is to be forearmed, as they say, right? So I like that point that you particularly made. And yes, to come back to Ramesh, Ramesh, would be fascinating to know what your team's roadmap to research and innovation is looking like. Because by now, I think our listeners are very curious to know, after hearing these fascinating stories, what's more, what's ahead? So Ramesh, what's next on your team's roadmap to research and innovation?
Thanks, Sheetal, for asking this question. For me, this is the most exciting question, because whatever we discussed so far is what has already been done. Right? Like I said in the beginning, the objective for us was to look at unobtrusive, privacy-preserving, and frugal, yet multimodal solutions for sensing and inferencing of human behavior. Along with that, some of the, you know, psychophysiological measures, mostly in an enterprise context and ensuring well-being.
Right.
Now, when we're talking about mental well-being, which is the current context, we're also talking brain health. Right? What this would mean is that we would need technologies that can collect and analyze the physiological sensor data in a continuous fashion. That becomes important. And you know, all that when the user goes about doing his or her own daily activities. And that makes it contextual. You know, the ability to do all that on a continuous fashion makes the technology robust. To make this possible, now we have initiated a project, we call it Brain Read, wherein we are working on a multi-sensor ear-based wearable, you know, just like a normal Bluetooth headset or a headphone that we use today with our mobile phones. We also want to create a device which will sit there and continuously measure on a longitudinal basis all the sensor data that we were talking about. It'll be GSR, it'll be PPG, it'll be electroencephalogram or brain waves, temperature, so on and so forth. Basically an integrated hardware. Along with that, we will also have the algorithms that will do the necessary noise removal, enhance the signals analysis, and most importantly, you know, the interpretations that are required from a cognition point of view.
Right.
Now, the system design, I'm happy to say that, you know, the system design for this data acquisition and validation fetched us the best paper award at the recently concluded international workshop on wearable computing called EarComp 2022 at the UBCom conference.
Right.
This is something that we feel very proud of, and over to you, Shita.
As you absolutely must, Ramesh. And honestly, I have to tell you both, Ratna and Ramesh, the research and the innovation and the rigor and passion that you demonstrate in all that you do really lights up our future. Suddenly, everything is a little bit brighter to me. And thank you so much to the two of you for joining us on the TCS Research Podcast today and telling all of our listeners about this wonderful collaboration and the results of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are tuned into TCS Podcasts.